American Timelines is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network. Find out more at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
So now I'm obsessed with time. Come on, tell me about the time. Had it all in my head tonight. Had the time of my life. When the words all come down, like blues on Tuesdays come down. Throw it all away. Throw it all away.
Welcome to special episode of American Timelines. This is a deep dive episode where we're going to cover something from 1943, and this one is going to be a biography episode. We're going to talk about Dewey Beard, a Native American whose land was once again stolen from him in World War II, and we're going to talk about what I think is the inspiration for Captain America in 1943, Audie Murphy. And I have a special guest with us today. Joining us, just me and him. We're going to go deep dive on these two guys. Please welcome Hunter Brame, pilot extraordinaire, beer aficionado, and ticketing salesman. Hunter Brame. Welcome, Hunter.
That's me. I don't know about aficionado for pilot. I do fly planes, but I'm not like...
You're a pilot, right? You can safely take a plane into the air and back down.
Mm-hmm.
What about a helicopter? Can you fly a helicopter?
No helicopters. Helicopters scare the shit out of me.
Yeah, I'm scared of shit out of them too. I mean, they scare the shit out of me too ever since Kobe. Even when I see one in a movie, I'm like, oh, that copter's going down. What's the highest altitude you've ever flown?
I think 9,000. And that was just kind of like just cruising. It wasn't like... Like, I wasn't doing anything crazy up there or anything.
Did you do any barrel rolls or anything? Have you ever done those?
No barrel rolls. And it's also kind of different because the reason I was up that high was I was flying over the mountains. So, like, height over the ground was not as much, you know?
Flew over mountains?
Yeah.
Not scared about that?
We're in North Carolina. We're 3 hours from the beach, 3 hours from the mountains, anywhere you are, you know?
Unless you're flying. Then how far is it?
Well... about 45 minutes either way.
45 minutes. Any close calls in the planes? Any close calls?
I have had my kind of my humbling moments.
Yeah.
A couple of them. Nothing where I was like shit in my pants or
that's
anything,
what I'm saying. Any shit in your pants? Have you ever shit your pants?
No, there's been a couple where I was I went to the beach one time, and on the way back, it was dark, and I was calculating how much time of fuel I had left. I had plenty, and when I checked, but like I probably should have made a fuel stop about halfway back, but I didn't want to fill up where I was because it was a short runway, and I didn't want that extra weight taking off. But yeah, I was probably 15 minutes out from my home airport, and I was doing fuel calculations on the back of a sheet of paper.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Yikes! So
any other pilots listening are like, "Oh, this guy's not a great pilot."
Well, and now, so that's shitting your pants in a plane. You had never quite done that, but have you ever shit your pants not on a plane as an adult?
No. I mean, I feel like every like grown adult man has had that like that sick moment, you know, where you're like, oh man, like haven't done that since I was a kid, but you know, it happens to the best of us. Let's make this a safe space for
you don't want to share
for
that
people yet. That have shit their pants.
Yeah, I do. That's a separate podcast I'm gonna do later. Like everyone should has shit.
Everyone poops.
Yeah, everyone poops. So that's a podcast. Yeah. Okay, so why did you become a pilot? Like, what were the circumstances that made you become a pilot? You just always wanted to be a pilot, or did you just bump into somebody and you're like, hey, you want to take some pilot lessons?
When I was younger, that was like the dream was like become a pilot, and mm-hmm. I had this math teacher in middle school that had us do this project where we like picked a career and then like laid all the steps out to get there. What college are you going to go to? How are you going to pay for it? Pretty weird for a math class, but she was a great teacher. I loved it. And Yeah, like I thought back then, like that was going to be my career path, was being a pilot. And then I got to college and I got the whole like the millennials college promise, like you got to go to college or you're going to be a failure in life. And I had been working in restaurants at the time just to like make some spending cash in high school. And I thought like, hey, maybe being a executive chef or like owning a restaurant for the rest of my life would be cool. So I ended up going to culinary school. Terrible idea. If you know anyone that's thinking about going to culinary school,
Don't
no,
do it.
absolutely not. It's
Don't do it.
absolutely the worst decision you can make.
Oh my gosh.
I remembered like my school guidance counselor showed me this website where you like typed in any career and it would tell you like what the average salary was. And I remember she brought up executive chef and it was like 150 grand. And I remember being like, oh, that's great. And like now being in the industry and like past that, like who the hell is making 150 grand as a chef? So yeah, once I got about halfway through college, I realized that beverage was the industry if I actually wanted to make money. So started working in breweries. Did that pretty much all the way up until the pandemic hit. And then I had a lot of free time and I had Uncle Joe bucks to spend. And the one of the girls a girl I was dating at the one of the girls I was dating at the time, a girl
One
I
of the
was dating at the
many,
time
many women you were dating at the time.
was like, you should go for that. You should go get your pilot's license. I was like, ah, that's crazy. I can't do it. And I took what they call a discovery flight and it was amazing. I loved every second of it. And I've been training in that ever since. And I've got 170 hours now. So
Wow, so just since the pandemic,
yeah.
you learned just since then, and now you're a you plot you fly
We say
planes.
just then, since then, like it was like, I mean, it's been 4 years.
I know. I feel
It's
like
hard
we're
to
still in
believe.
the I'm still in the pandemic, my
Yeah.
friend. Like I'm still
No,
recovering. I'm
for sure.
still trying not to leave my house, trying not to wear anything other than sweat shorts and a t-shirt. I'm still full pandemic mode. I'm like hanging on to that pandemic. It's still, but what are you talking about? It's pandemic. I can't go anywhere. No. So yeah, you're right. I mean, it just seems so recent to me. Time's changes as you get older. Anyway, well, thanks for being here. But you're also a self-proclaimed World War II buff, which I found out when you and I were talking about American timelines, and that we've got the thing I didn't think about once we got to, when we started this podcast, I never thought about what's going to happen when we get to the 40s, and it's everything in the news is
Yeah,
World War II
everything.
based. And then you got to make a decision. Are you a World War II podcast or are you just a pop culture history podcast? You can't go through the 40s and not have a million things about World War II. So it's like if you tell this story in World War II, how are you not going to say this, and this about the
Yeah.
Nazis and Italy and Mussolini and everything? Like you got to get into everything.
Yeah.
And so it's either some or not. So I've decided this way, well, each year I'll just pick out a few things that are like, oh my God, I want to know more about this story. And just prefacing this all with, there's tons and tons of awful, awful shit that we're not going to talk about and go deep in. But it's like I'm preparing for 1943 right now. And as I'm going through the news from the year, every other day is like how many Jews were exterminated from cities, like just
Yeah.
ungodly amounts of,
The
and
numbers is wild.
it's
That's
just it's
one of
insane.
my favorite parts about World War stats is like, and it's a terrible thing to think about, but the numbers, we've never reached that kind of a thing before as a species, like
Yeah, and hopefully
killing
since, and
that many
hopefully never
people.
again.
And like
Well,
the mechanization and machine of war, it's insane to think about.
it almost just feels wrong to talk about
Yep.
because you can't iterate enough how serious and awful it is. Because when you're looking through a Wikipedia page of just 1943, every other line is, oh, this day George Harrison was born. This day, 170,000 Jews were exterminated from this city, like liquidated, like they're not even people. Like it's just written. It's not even written with. So it's almost like unbelievable. And you can say it, you can talk about it, and not. But if you don't pay attention to it, like my daughter watched some Holocaust movie and she was just a mess. And she couldn't stop crying and shaking. And I was like, what's wrong? I was like, what? This Holocaust. And I was like, you didn't know the Holocaust? I was like, I knew it happened, but it's just that when you see it, it's so real. It's so easy to just make it a number and make it a sentence and make it a thing that happened. And we don't think about it and talk about it and see it. And as humans, I think it's hard to cope and hard to, you can't make yourself go there. So I think part of that is like, I can't even do justice with the awful, awful, that it was and why it had to happen and what happened. So let's talk about things that I've never heard of, or I didn't know about this, or let's just say, no, this is a thing.
Well, definitely. I feel like as a species, we've really like, we grow on turning points, and it's these insane things that happen that really force us to reflect back and see what we've done as a species and how we're doing. And that's where we really start to see major changes. You know, we make small changes as a society all the time, but you really see in these extreme circumstances how quickly humanity can look back and say, hey, this is, we need to change this, or we need to be doing things in a different way. And
good point. It's just crazy that it's hard to think that it is possible, like something this bad and awful is possible. Yeah. And then just all the side things, all the little bits of it. And I was just thinking, I even think about the music. When I go through the music, the top Billboard hits are always kind of, oh, listen to this, and nostalgia makes me think of my grandpa who was around in the 40s. He was born in the 20s, and he was just too old for Vietnam, but too young for World War II. So he just kind of fell in that sweet spot, and just like he loved Glenn Miller and all that. Like, think of this music, I'm thinking, oh, this must be so nostalgic. But at the same time, these songs were number one hits when everyone was scared of a bomb dropping, and you had to do bomb drills, and it was like most of the country was gone, and women had to work in the factories, and everybody was depressed, and the money, and nobody had money and or anything. It was just a shitty time to live. But all this jaunty music, it's like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, life has to go on in any of these situations.
It's just nuts, and you have to have these things. The baseball, like they said, they wanted baseball to go on because people needed something. And just to think about that time is crazy. Even they were so far removed from it, but there's still people alive, you know, that live this time. So what we're going to talk about, what I said to Hunter before we started recording and jumped on here, is that I want to treat these little deep dives as just information sharing. You tell me what you learn about Audie Murphy, and I'll tell you what I learned about Dewey Beard. And then if we bring up things throughout history that, oh, I've heard of that, but what is that? What happened? What's your understanding? And you'll probably have a better understanding for a lot of this since you're a World War II buff. I've never been a World War II guy at all. I've never really been a history guy until I did this podcast, but now I'm getting into it. And so as I'm reading along, I wanted to find out about stuff. So I'm just kind of looking it up on Wikipedia, like the great podcast Wiki Hole that's out now by Darcy Carden, which I love. So just kind of like, let's talk about it. Not to be super flippant, but just like, it's important to remember these things that happen. And I think Dewey Beard, what I'm going to get into, is a Native American who, you know, you can't talk enough about how Native Americans have been treated so shittily in this country. And he's a great example of one. Hey, we grab a beer out of that fridge for me. My son just got home from, and I'm running low on this beer. And if I know the pink one in the door, little slurp. No, not for you, dude. Thanks, fella. My son almost stole my little slurp. This is a little slurp by Noda Brewing, local.
Start him young.
Yeah, start him young. Oh, yeah, he's already had plenty of bullshit that he's stolen from me. Anyway, I'll cut that out. So without further ado, let's let you go first and tell me about Audie Murphy.
Sure.
I hadn't heard of – had you heard about Audie Murphy before we did this, before I signed this to you?
I don't think I'd – I can't say that, yeah, so like I knew who Audie Murphy was, but like as I read through stuff, there were things that like sounded familiar. I just never put a name to it.
But I love biographies. That's my whole
like. He was the hero of World War II, and like, you know,
World
that kind
War
of thing.
II biggest hero, right? Like,
I mean, basically,
he's Captain America from what I read. Like, this guy's Captain 100%. America.
33 military awards, went on to act in 40 movies.
He's an actor? He became an actor?
Yeah.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, yeah. He, like, I mean, famous actor.
Oh, shit. I'm stupid.
So he was born in Hunt County, Texas,
Okay.
June 20th, 1925. We'll later find out that his birth certificate was falsified to 1924. Which is like, if you look at different things online, something I was finding, I was trying to like match dates up, and everything seemed to kind of be off a year on certain things. And then I finally like realized it's because, oh, these people are using his original birth date.
His original falsified one.
No, the like they were using like his real birth date,
Oh,
and
okay,
then
right.
other some of them were using the falsified one. But anyway, like,
Sure.
yeah, everything was normally like off or on by a year.
But regardless, he falsified it to fight in World War II. Too young,
Yeah,
right?
just like Captain America, right? And well, I guess, Captain America's original thing was that he was underweight, right?
Yeah,
Or
he was
he
too
was too small.
tiny and he was
Yeah.
not healthy enough and all that
Yeah,
stuff. And he
exactly.
became.
So, this Audie, I guess originally he was also turned down for being underweight. Before they caught him for age, they were like, "Nah, you're not big enough, kid."
Yeah, you're
I
just a
think when
little
he,
guy.
because he basically he applied for everything. He like tried to get in the Marines, paratroopers, army, and just got like turned down left and right. And then finally, his sister helped him falsify his birth certificate. Went to the courthouse and like submitted a new. I don't know how that works. I know you could like later on go to the courthouse and be like, actually, this is my birth certificate. That old one you got, throw that away. Yeah, so falsified it to 1924, to be able to appear 18. I guess I'm skipping over some stuff here because like, so he grew up in Hunt County, Texas. Father was Emmett, mother was Josie. And he kind of had a shitty childhood. This was Depression era. His dad was kind of a deadbeat, beat him up and the rest of his family a lot. He was the seventh kid of the family and had nine brothers and sisters growing up, out of 12 originally. So,
Oh my gosh.
yeah, so three of them died off. I mean, it's
Yeah,
Depression era,
back
like
then, yeah, people, yeah,
it was
right.
not great. They like lived in a shack. I saw a picture of their like original home. It was just like a looked like a trailer with no wheels.
Yeesh.
But kind of to make up for that, he actually hunted squirrels and rabbits to provide for his family.
Oh.
Yeah, and his mom talked about that a lot. Like it was like she was like, oh, like he was the greatest. He would take his little 22 rifle out and bring home food for us to eat. Yeah.
Delicious squirrel meat.
Delicious squirrel stew. So in 1933, they moved to Celeste, Texas, still in Hunt County, but I guess like another town over. And he started first grade at 9 years old, so he was 2 years behind everyone else in first grade. And I guess I didn't have kindergarten back then. It was just like first grade was where you started. Stayed with that for 4 years and then quit school to go to work full time in 1937. Would pick up any job he could, whether it was picking, like, it was a big agricultural era. So they were doing, picking a lot of cotton, corn, basically whatever was in season. I didn't see anything about factory jobs. I don't think that really like took off until, we get into World War II and then like post-World War II era. But while he was working these farms, he had two uncles that served in World War I, and they would work in the fields with him. And basically the whole time they're like picking vegetables or whatever, they would tell him stories about being in combat in World War I.
No, World War One, yeah.
Yeah. Then in 1940, his dad left the family, finally like just got out of there, went to get milk, never came back.
That'd be dad, just never came back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna go get a pack of
His mom,
cigarettes.
yeah, his mom like said basically she came downstairs and he had a bunch of clothes on, like more clothes than was normal to like normally go out in, and that was the last she saw him. He walked out and he never came back.
Probably packed all of his clothes on his body.
Exactly, more
That guy's
jackets than he
leaving.
needed. Yeah, she said that she was like, I knew he was gone, like that
He's
was it.
wearing 12 shirts.
Yeah.
All 12 of your shirts and all of your underwear on the outside.
So after he left, they moved in with his oldest sister. And then in 1941, his mother died at the age of 49. She was like, I think they said like couple weeks, maybe a couple days off of her 50th birthday. So like kind of what you're gonna see is like there's gonna be like a couple like crazy things that happen like all in a row that like you can tell like gears this guy up, like he's like not in a great place. So dad leaves in 1940, mom dies in 1941 in May. Then in December 1941, obviously Pearl Harbor happens. He was out on a double date with one of his friends, and they got home. They didn't know anything about it. He got home and he heard about it on the radio, and he went outside, met up with his friends again, and they were like, "Oh, we're going to enlist. Screw this!" Like, and so all of his friends went out and tried to enlist, and he tried to go with them, but he was 17 and a half, so they wouldn't take him. And they said like he had a real baby face problem. Like this kid was not going to get away with anything. So yeah, like I said earlier, his after a couple months, his friends are all packing up and leaving, and he's kind of just pissed off at home. No dad, mom just died. Really, probably just not the best person to be around.
Well, all his friends are gone,
Yeah,
or at
all his
least,
friends
yeah.
leave. Yeah, so his sister said, "Hey, like, let's go make some changes on that birth certificate." So, falsified his birth certificate and is able to join in July. So only, I guess, like, what, 9 months after Pearl Harbor. So his friends have probably been gone for a while. You
They've
know,
been
they
gone,
enlisted. They were out. And then, goes through basic training. In 1942, and then February 8th, gets sent to North Africa. So the
Awesome.
North African campaign of the Second World War was from 1940 until May 1943. So he kind of like got there like as things were wrapping up. Didn't get to see any combat during that time.
The Battle of Gerba that he missed? That was 1940. Sorry, that's shut up. Keep going.
No, so this was mainly just like it was all desert combat. So lots of like
Yeah,
basically just
desert.
like tanks out in the sand shooting each
Yeesh.
other from a distance, like
Yeah, and if you're this hero guy and you're enlisting to go get those fucking Nazis, and they send you to Africa in the desert, does it
And
feel like
the
you're?
battle's already over. And he's
Yeah, he
like, "Well, what
misses
am I?"
that. So does he feel like, is he like, I'm getting ripped off here?
I think so. Like so he like And you'll hear later, he kind of talks about he what did what, how did he put it? He said it took the vinegar out of him after like
Piss
as
and
he was getting
vinegar.
ready to go into Sicily. Like that sort of anger that he had pent up, mad about his dad, mad about his mom dying. He did a bunch of training in Africa. Basically, like they got him over there, and they're like, "Well, we got you here. Like, let's make sure you guys are ready for the next battle." And from Africa, we moved up into Italy. And the first part of the Italian campaign was the landings in Sicily. So like if you know Italy's like the boot, right? Well, kind of like off the edge of the toe of the boot, I think. Let me bring a map up. There's this there's an island called Sicily.
That's where Sophia's from Sicily, right? Back in Sicily, from Golden Girls.
Oh yeah,
My wife is actually
yeah.
part Sicilian, so I think she that's where her family probably come from.
I've never been to Europe. It's wild. Like
Yeah, so it's.
I have so much interest, but I've never been.
Yeah, so there's like the toe of the boot, and then there's like a little.
Like it's kicking something.
Yeah, it's like it's kicking something. It's kicking Sicily.
So they they fought through Algeria, took Libya, and then from there had an amphibious landing campaign into Sicily, and that's where he got his first action. So during that landing, I guess he didn't get a lot of fighting, but kind of after like near the end of the battle, towards the end of it. There were two Italian officers, I guess, like ran out and jumped on a couple of horses and started riding off. And I was watching this documentary about them, and they really like glorified it. Thinking about it, I was like, that probably didn't happen like that. He was probably just popping shots off at him. But they said he knelt down, they're running away. He pops two shots, kills both of them. They drop off their horses. And that was his first like taste of combat. It was like, okay, I've killed someone now. And he talked about, like now I've like tasted blood. I've committed death, I think is what he said. I think it kind of ruined things for him. Like he was like, oh, like this is not like, I was angry, but was I angry at these people? Like,
Yeah, like they're not the
did this
ones.
make things better? Yeah.
But I wondered, yeah, so it sounds like it also changed something in him, right? But it said
Oh,
it ruined
definitely.
his life,
Most
like.
definitely. So, and kind of what you're going to start seeing more in this story is he was really one of the first people that was publicly had post-traumatic stress disorder. And he talks a lot. He never really comes out and says like, hey, like I was sick with this, because we didn't really
Yeah.
start to understand that until, years later.
Yeah, you didn't talk about therapy or go to therapy or any of this
Yeah,
shit.
exactly. They just held it all in and were
Yeah.
just angry people for a long time, angry,
Yeah.
upset people. But that's really like when you get quotes from him, that's really all he talks about is like the way killing affected him. And
Really?
yeah, it's almost kind of like you seen American Sniper?
I have not seen that just because of
Oh, so
political
like,
stuff around it. I was like, I don't know, you know.
yeah. Well, so like it's really that kind of like you can tell when people start to become numb to it. Like they're good at it, and the only way they can be good at it is by just not thinking about it. And I like reading about him, I could kind of tell. I was like, yeah, this guy was just he was good at killing.
He
And
became a detached, cold
and kind of,
person. Yeah, this is the
a
only way to
lot
do
of
it.
his friends talked about like how good he was at hunting as a kid. And he kind of like just transferred that set of skills. Like,
Sure.
he was looking at these Germans and these Nazis as the same as like rabbits and squirrels in Texas.
I'm sure. Yeah, you probably have to. How else could you do it? How could you kill people? Yeah. Oh, nuts. Yeah.
So after the Sicilian campaign, he talked a lot about like feeling that indifference. His friends around him said that like he started to act different, kind of would like move away from people, didn't hang out as much. And that was when he made the comment about losing the vinegar in his
Yeah.
fight.
Okay.
He didn't feel like as excited to be there anymore. But listen, as we go on, like you're gonna be like, this guy's good.
Yeah.
Like he is good at what he does. So that was mostly in July, moving through the summer months. And then in September 1943, he has kind of his first like a award-winning's not the right word,
All
but
right.
like valorant act that gets him some sort of an accolade or award.
Sure, yeah.
He's with a scouting party of three. He was always in scouting parties. Like people talked about how good he was at like looking at terrain and understanding like where people would hide. And so he was with a party of three people, and they get ambushed by German soldiers. One of them's like instantly killed by machine gun fire. And then Murphy and the other guy retaliate, and they killed five Germans with grenades and machine guns. And I believe he got, I think, was that his first Bronze Star? Let me look. He has this website. This is the weirdest looking website I've seen in a long time. I remember in one of my technology classes, we had to like practice making a website. This looks like something someone made
I had
in
what they
one of
call
those
a
classes.
GeoCities page, which is probably what it's on.
Oh, no, I
You
kind of remember
have you
that.
heard of GeoCities?
I've
Like
heard of
that was
GeoCities, yeah.
the 90s. It
Yeah,
was
no, I don't remember what this
always
was
just
like
like a
it was
big
part of
picture.
Microsoft Office. a big
Oh
picture
yeah.
and some like some
It'd be
hyperlinks
just
under
like
it.
a yeah, a
Are you looking
picture
at
with a
it? I sent you
hyperlink.
the link.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah,
Yeah.
this looks like an old GeoCities page. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
a, it would be just like this. A big picture, some text, and that's it. And then a
A
link
few
that you click
hyperlinks
to
under it.
another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like someone made this back then, and then they were like, well, this is how it is. We're gonna
You can
keep
almost hear the
updating
music that would start
it.
automatically on a
Like, and
page
there's
and
like a
scroll
little
down.
like a Java player at the bottom of
Yeah,
it
Java
for
play.
sure.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It's, yeah, it's, that's hilarious. Yeah, this is, so this is audiemurphy.com.
AudieMurphy.com. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can
You can donate. You can
donate.
donate.
And yeah,
I
you've
don't know where
got,
that goes. Oh, the Audie Murphy Research Foundation.
yeah, it seems above board, but it's like, yeah, this is, it's like clip art of tanks on the bottom. Yeah, this is bad. Yeah, this looks like what my website did. Yeah, back in the day.
Rough. Okay, no. So he didn't get an accolade for that, but after that he was promoted to sergeant. So they were
Okay.
kind of like, okay, like this guy's good at his job. We should put him in charge of some people. He also they repelled another attack with seven German soldiers, which when I was reading these numbers, I was like, man, these are like small skirmishes. Like,
Yeah,
dude,
yeah.
you can imagine it's just like three or four guys walking through the woods, and then
Yeah.
like three or four other guys come across, and you're like, all right, we're fighting. And yeah, so I guess they did pretty good. In the one with seven soldiers, they killed three and took four prisoners.
Okay.
And that's
So
kind of
he's
like
like boots
the
on the ground type
reading.
of thing. He's not flying in a
Boots on the
plane.
ground,
He's
just
not,
like,
yeah,
no,
sniping.
he's
He's just boots on the ground, hand to hand,
yeah.
grenades, gun. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's got you'll kind of see through most of these battles. They normally like kill half of them and the others surrender. They're like, okay,
Yeah,
like
yeah.
we don't like we'll be prisoners. That's fine.
That's one thing I could never, I'd be surrendering right away. I'll give you,
Instantly.
I'm a coward.
So he was promoted to sergeant in December 1943, and then shortly after, like no time passes, and it doesn't talk about any battles or anything between then. He's promoted to staff sergeant, which I don't know a lot about military rankings, but I imagine those are pretty much one and the same. Just like you're maybe
All I
you're
know is
like it
Sergeant
sets like
Slaughter.
yeah, like whatever
Yeah,
you're in charge of people. But then he got malaria. So that's like
oh shit.
one thing I know about World War II is like did we did not figure out disease in between World War I and World War II. Like it was just people were dirty all the time. We weren't changing our socks. We were just
Yeah.
like catching stuff. And I think they said he had a temperature of 105 degrees,
Yeesh.
and he was like, "Nah, I'm fine. I'm gonna keep fighting." And then whoever was in charge of him was like, "No, I'm ordering you go to the hospital. Like we
Fucking
need you
fever,
good."
dude. Yeah.
Yeah. And so his friends and his company go on to participate in the Battle of Anzio, which was the next like amphibious landing out of Sicily, getting onto the mainland of Italy,
Okay.
and that's all like leading up to the liberation of Rome, which was like that was the big like okay like we've taken Italy, we're in Europe now.
Yeah, that's sort of a turning point.
Yeah, he's in the hospital for 4 months, then
With
he
malaria.
with malaria, he's messed up. Then he goes to Anzio, meets back up with his company,
So like
and
back then, like malaria like wasn't a joke.
yeah, it
Like
was bad.
people died from that, right? A lot. I mean,
I
what's
mean,
the
people died
majority?
from everything back then. It did not take much, you know. Like you could not change socks, get an infection in your toes, and then like the next week they're taking your legs off, you know.
Yeah, malaria mortality peaked 4 months after entering the endemic area, but one death a day from malaria. Like I'm just looking, like what was the death rate? 50 to 60 billion throughout history have died of malaria.
Yeah.
How many people died of malaria during World War II? During World War I, there were, oh gosh, I guess there was only seven deaths, but there was 68,373 sick days because of malaria, 4,746 new cases,
Yeah.
and then 90 deaths during the Korean War. I guess there weren't, by World War II, they got had a handle on
Yeah.
but
No, I think we had the ability to treat it by that
yeah.
point, but you're still catching it and like,
Yeah, a lot of
getting
people
knocked
got,
out by it all the
yeah, if
time.
we're not clean, we're unclean. Okay.
Yeah. Well, mostly, most of the time you get malaria through mosquitoes.
Eesh, yeah.
It's like a blood infection. So,
I'm not a big fan. Not a big fan of malaria.
not a big fan of mosquitoes in general. As
Yeah, I don't
someone
like
from the
mosquitoes.
South,
Yeah.
no sir to mosquitoes.
Hey, Hunter, let me just interrupt for a second because the wait is over. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR, is now live in North Carolina. And now you can legally bet on all your favorite sports anytime, anywhere, right here in North Carolina with DraftKings. Did you know that, Hunter? For a limited time, new customers who sign up with promo code QCPN and bet $5 will receive $200 instantly in bonus bets. DraftKings has the best features, including same-game parlays, player props, and more, with fast and easy payouts right at your fingertips. Bruh. I'm looking right now. I'm thinking about betting on the Grizzlies and Cavaliers coming up at 7:10 p.m. I can bet the over. I can bet against the spread, the money line. You can just pick straight up who you think's going to win. I bet on NCAA women's tournament a lot. I was really into that stuff. So, yeah, I don't know what you should bet. I'm not going to pretend to tell you that I know, but it's fun. So download the DraftKings Sports Book app now using code QCPN and bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code QCPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and use under license. All right, Hunter. Continue.
So yeah, he gets back up in Anzio, and this is kind of where like he starts to the heroism starts to show. Like this guy starts doing some wild things. So him and his platoon were hiding out in an abandoned farmhouse, and I guess a German tank was just, like they were just it was raining, so they were like, okay, let's hide out in this farmhouse. And a German tank starts to like roll up on him or pass by, and he's like, guys, I'm gonna take care of this. And his buddies just are like, okay, cool. And so he crawls out of the farmhouse, and he's got a rifle grenade. So it's like a gun that it's a old school grenade launcher. And he like rolls up, crawls up to this tank, and destroys it, like takes out a tank single-handedly. And then like his friends come out and are like, okay, like cool, thanks for handling that for
Thanks,
us.
dude. That's awesome. But also, who the fuck are you?
Exactly. This is like he's gonna start like building his like legend, I
Glad I
guess,
got this guy on my side.
Dude, I'm sure at some point, like when he starts showing up places, people are like, okay, we're
Oh, thank
good.
God this
Like,
guy's here.
yeah, thank God Murphy's here. He gets the Bronze Star for that. That's his first accolade. And then guess what? He
I
gets
don't know.
malaria again.
Malaria? No, I was gonna say malaria. There's no way
Malaria
he's getting it
again.
again.
This dude, he ends up in the hospital for disease
Oh my
a decent
God.
amount of times, which to me says like if this guy, our hero, is getting it, people are getting it a lot.
Everybody's getting malaria, but this guy's probably exceptionally dirty because he didn't give a fuck. He's just going out there to blow up tanks on his own.
I guess in May they gave him the combat infantry the infantryman badge, just kind of like for his whole company. Company B of the 15th Infantry, all get the infantry. And it isn't this is I was going to ask you this. Isn't there a song about Company B?
Boogie woogie bugle boy, Company B.
That's
It's
it.
like,
Okay,
yeah,
good.
yep.
Which was featured in the Captain America movie.
Yeah, he's in the army now. Is that ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba- But here we go, Company B.
So his whole company gets the combat infantryman badge, and then he also gets the Bronze Oak Leaf cluster for his Bronze Star, which I guess is like you already have a Bronze Star. We're going to upgrade that. You get a
Oh.
Bronze Leaf underneath of it.
Oh, wow. More fancy.
Then August rolls around. They go to southern France. He's with his company and they're attacked by Germans in a vineyard. And after fighting, two of the Germans call surrender. They come out, you know, I guess they hold their hands up or whatever. And his best friend, is like, okay, cool, we accept your surrender, stands up to go like take the prisoners. And they faked it. So they killed his best friend.
Oh no, so this is Bucky Barnes.
Yeah. And so then Murphy kind of like sees red. His friends are like, no, like we need to like take cover. And he's like, nah, screw that.
Nope, you killed my best
Goes
friend.
in alone,
Oh.
kills six, wounds two, and takes 11 prisoners by
Oh my
himself. One
Jesus.
man, running
One
up a
man in a
hill.
rage. You don't fuck my best friend. My boy.
And so I think he probably just like thought he was gonna die, right? He
Yeah,
was like,
probably was just
you
like,
killed
fuck
my
it.
friend, take me too,
Yeah, I'm gonna
whatever.
die too. But he didn't. Instead, he took all his prisoners. Wow.
Solo, single-handedly.
Yeah, this is Captain America for sure.
I think so. When did Captain America first come out? Had to have been after World War II, right?
Well, I thought it happened during the 40s because it was like all propaganda shit. Yeah, first appearance was December 20th, 1940. So maybe he was inspired by Captain America, but
But it could have been later on, you know, they like
yeah,
changed
they I'm sure they stole stories,
those
throughout
first
the
appearances.
throughout the 80s and stuff. I'm sure they stole ideas, they used his Audie Murphy as probably stuff, but yeah.
So then in September 1944, he gets hit in the back of the heel with a mortar shell blast. And I don't really know how Purple Hearts work, but this did not seem, I don't know. You're like, I know I've never been to war, so I can't talk crap.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem to hurt him at all. He continued on, but he gets the Purple Heart for being wounded in combat, you know. Not for getting malaria though. That was, you know, that's just part of the job. He gets the Purple Heart, then he gets a
Yeah.
Silver Star for killing four Germans and wounding three at a German machine gun position at the Lamette Quarry. And then 3 days later, Murphy crawled by himself alone towards the Germans at another position. And this is they show this in the movie. So later on, he's gonna write a book and like then they'll turn that into a movie and
Okay, so
he stars in it
he stars in the movie about himself.
about himself. Yeah, for
Yeah,
sure.
that's right. He said he's an actor. I didn't know he was an actor.
But so he has like a radio on him, and as he's like crawling towards these positions and instructing his guys behind him, like making calls on the radio, telling them what to do. And when they take the hill and they killed 15 Germans and wounded 35. So then he got another Bronze Oak Leaf cluster, this time for his now Silver Star. It's not the Bronze Star anymore. Now he's got the Silver Star.
So I'm wondering about what, as you're earning these medals and accolades, you're in the middle of combat. You're still fighting. You're not putting these on your uniform, right? Like this is just
I
for
don't
your
think so. I think
dress
like just like
uniforms
I
or
think your sergeant just I think your sergeant just like tells you like, hey, like
you've
I
won
put you up for
this. And
this.
then later you'll get the physical hardware probably. I just wonder. Yeah. No idea.
I don't think there's like a mail system like just
Yeah,
delivering
here's
medals
your
throughout the
star.
war.
Keep it in your pocket. Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah.
And then so also during that battle he got a battlefield commission, which is kind of like where like hey, like you did a really good job, we're going to give you another promotion. So they promoted him to a platoon leader.
Okay.
Then a couple months later, October, they're en route to I'm gonna butcher this French name. Bruvilliers. Yeah,
I don't
that
know what it
sounded
is.
right.
That sounds pretty
On
good.
October 26th, they were ambushed by a German sniper group. Murphy captured two of them, and then was shot in the hip by a
Yeesh.
sniper. See, this was like, I'm like, this is where you should have got the Purple Heart. Like, you
Yeah,
got shot at this point.
you got shot. It still took two
And then
snipers.
return fire, and then this, like, I don't know, like, again, like, maybe a little bit of embellishing, but return fire and shot the sniper between the eyes. Like, that's like part of the story. Gets sent to the hospital again. This man spends a lot of time in the hospital, and they remove gangrene from the wound in his hip. So, like, basically,
Yeesh.
like, take a solid chunk of his hip out.
Ugh.
And that keeps him out of, let's see, that was in October. Keeps him out of combat until January. So only
Okay.
3 months.
Only
Like,
3 months with
this dude's
gangrene in
like,
your hip.
give me back. Yeah, they like, and they talk about this later, because he ends up working in a gym in California, in Hollywood, and he boxes with people. And apparently he like goes into the steam room after the fight, and the guy that was just fighting him is like, dude, you don't have a hip.
Your
Like,
hip is missing.
yeah.
Ugh.
So yeah, back in January they get him back in. You know, he's back in the battles, and goes to the Colmar Pocket, which is like, this is like the central location of all the Germans
Okay.
during the war in France. This is where a lot of them are hanging out, and where a lot of the command is coming out of. Let's see. He moved his division to the town of Holzwehr, where they faced a strong German counterattack, and then he gets wounded in both his legs. They don't say like what kind of, like, I imagine if he was shot, they would have said shot.
Yeah.
So maybe some sort of like shrapnel or something. Gets his second bronze oak leaf cluster for his Purple Heart. I guess he probably got the first one. Oh yeah, he got the first one for when he got shot in the hip.
Yikes.
So he's getting all these awards. Okay, this is the wild one. This is where you're like, okay, Captain America.
Yeah.
Rejoins his platoon in France after getting the gangrene out of his wound. They made him the commander of Company B now.
Okay.
They're in the Colmar Pocket, and he I guess they're probably walking with a tank. It's a tank destroyer, so big tank that's meant to blow up other tanks. So they're walking with this tank, and the Germans hit it with some sort of, I'm guessing, an anti-tank rifle. Sets it on fire. So the crew of the tank bails out and has to abandon it. He orders his men, Company B, to retreat. He remains, stays here, mounts the burning tank, and so the tank has a big 50 caliber machine gun on top of
Yeah,
it.
it's on fire.
It's on fire,
Yeah, it's
gets on the
gonna
tank, and returns fire with the machine gun, killing the advancing German squad.
Holy
And
shit.
then over an hour on top of this tank with the machine gun, kills or wounds 50 Germans
Oh my
from this
gosh.
tank. Got a leg wound and only stopped when he ran out of ammo. Rejoins his men, refuses first aid, and continues on to help repel the Germans from this area.
It's almost like he want, like you said before, like
He's like
he
he's like,
wants to
I'm
die. He's just
done.
like,
Like,
fuck,
yeah,
just
like, put me
I'm gonna
out.
go crazy and I'm gonna die. But he never died. So he
Yeah.
just kept.
Yeah. As
Holy
one of
shit.
his friends said, you know, he was like just gambling against the odds constantly,
Yeah.
and somehow came out on red.
Yeah.
So he gets the Medal of Honor for this, which is like, you know, that's the one of the highest
The Medal of Honor, yeah.
medals or accolades that you can get.
Yeah, those are the ones the president has to put around your neck.
Exactly. And then his whole division, the 3rd Infantry Division, gets the Presidential Unit Citation for his
Okay.
actions. So basically, they're like, yeah, that's our boy Murph. Gets promoted to first lieutenant in February, so a month after that. And then in July, he gets sent home. So in between that time, he basically, like, they promoted him to like a desk job, like still like overseas, but like he's like in a camp, not getting shot at constantly. So in July 1945, he gets sent home. And I mean, he's the war hero. He is the
Yeah,
guy.
he is the guy. Yeah.
They put his face on Time magazine when he comes home.
Okay.
He's still got this like baby face grin on.
Real life Captain America shit. Yeah.
And then he gets an invite to Hollywood by James Cagney. I don't know if you know who
Okay.
James Cagney
Yeah.
is.
Actor and producer.
Actor, producer.
Yeah.
And he basically just says like, hey, you can come live in my guest house.
Yeah.
Do it. And I think he was quoted saying like, I wanted him to do whatever he wanted to do. And he said he would like go out and garden in his backyard.
Really?
Like, and he was just living in his get in James
Yeah.
Cagney's guest house.
Hell yeah.
After living with him for a while, Cagney finally gets his okay, it's been long enough. I can ask this guy for something. Ask him to like sign a contract for $150 a week.
Yeah.
Big money back then.
Yeah. That's huge in the 40s.
And his only stipulation is that he joins actors school. That's basically the contract. Is like, hey, like I'll give you $150 a week if you go to actors school.
Oh, that's all he wanted him to do? Like you're living with me rent free.
Exactly. And then he's like, I'll pay you to go to school.
Okay.
Not like paid for his school, and then also was like, hey, I'll give you 150 bucks a
Paying
week.
him. Like so Cagney's paying Audie.
Yeah,
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 okay. I was
yeah.
like, you live with me and I'll pay you to live with me and I'll pay you to go to acting school.
Yep. And you
Okay.
can garden in my backyard.
Okay.
So his first he gets his first acting role in this movie, Beyond Glory. He's just a guy in the background, basically. He has 8 words in the
Okay.
whole movie, and he was quoted as saying it was 7 words too many. That was too much for him. He didn't want to do more.
That's
So that's what,
the other thing.
19
If you look at this guy,
through.
he's a good-looking
Yeah, he's
war
baby face.
hero.
He's a
So
handsome man.
that's you want him in movies. Yeah, he's gonna
Yeah.
be work. Yeah.
In 1947, so I guess before the film came out, he was released from that contract because
Okay.
Cagney, his studio started not doing so hot.
Okay.
And he's basically unemployed, just living on disability, and I guess, some of the money that he got from that movie. And he starts living in this gymnasium, and it's a boxing gym, and he
Okay.
w would just like box random people because he was bored.
Yeah.
And like I said, he meets this other guy, and I'm gonna blank on his name now, but this guy was also a producer in
David
Hollywood.
Speck McClure. Yes, I'm looking at
That's
the
the guy.
Wikipedia page right now. Hollywood writer, David Speck McClure, who I've never heard of.
And was like and was boxing him, and then they go to the steam room afterwards. He drops his towel, and this guy's like, dude, you don't have a hip. Like, what's who are you? And then he goes, I guess he asked the owner of the gym, and the gym's like, oh, that's Audie Murphy. And he's like, what? Like the
You're
war
the
hero,
hero?
Audie
Yeah.
Murphy,
Yeah.
and you're living in this gym?
Yeah.
Okay, what? And so he's like, okay, we gotta change this. So he brings him on to another acting gig.
Okay.
He gets a girlfriend, Wanda Hendrix,
Okay.
and then through spec, he gets his first small role,
Okay.
not like an extra or anything. He's actually
Sure.
got lines and stuff
Okay.
now, in the movie Bad Boy, 1949.
Okay, not to be confused with Will Smith and
I knew you were gonna say
Martin Lawrence, Bad
that.
Boys.
And then from that, he kind of gets recognized, I think, by MGM,
Okay.
to play the lead role in The Kid from Texas, which is perfect. Apparently, he's got this super thick Texas accent that he can't
Okay.
drop.
Okay,
The acting
that's perfect.
classes couldn't get rid of it.
Yeah, so use it. So use that,
Yeah,
yeah.
exactly. That movie comes out in 1950, but before that, January 8th, 1949, he gets married
Okay.
to Wanda.
The Wanda Hendrix.
Yeah.
And she was an actress. Yeah, she's very beautiful.
He's struggling with PTSD still.
Okay.
Wanda talks about him like waking up in the middle of the night screaming his dead friend's names, and
Oh, hell yeah. Can you imagine trying to
just
sleep after being through everything he's been through?
Well, we're gonna get into that in a second. He's gonna
Okay.
find some ways to sleep
Okay. Oh,
that are
boy.
not so good.
Probably not the best ways, I'm sure.
He hooks up with a ghostwriter
Okay.
to publish To Hell and Back. That's his biography.
Okay.
That's published in 1949. And then 1951, he gets divorced. They didn't really talk much about why the divorce, but they did. She mentions his PTSD a lot, so I'm guessing that probably had something to do with it.
Yeah.
4 days later, divorce is finalized.
Yeah.
4 days later, marries Pamela Archer.
Oh.
So I'm also thinking like, there was some stuff going on before. Like you didn't just
Yeah,
like
like,
meet this girl and marry her 4 days later.
yeah. Infidelity, probably,
Yeah.
yeah.
His biggest film comes up next, The Red Edge of Courage in 1951. It's a Civil War film. It was his highest rated on IMDb, a 7.1. So
Okay.
not bad at all, but pretty good.
Have you seen that movie?
Have not seen it. I've heard of
Okay.
it. I'd heard of it before, but I'd never seen it. I'm not a huge Civil War buff. I don't
You're not a
follow that. I
Civil War
can't.
buff.
No.
Okay.
I think being from the South, that has like some stipulations,
Yeah, I'm
you know.
sure. Yeah, you
Yeah.
guys lost.
People are
So,
like, oh, you're a Civil War buff from the South, huh?
yeah,
What kind of
you.
flags are you waving at your
Yeah,
friend?
right. Yeah, you got the battle
Yeah.
flag, you asshole. Yeah, so,
Yeah.
yeah, okay.
So then he kind of falls into Westerns is where he like tends to like
Okay.
find his calling. So he does a bunch of Western films.
Yeah, Southern accent.
Stars
Yeah, that makes sense.
as Jesse James, I think in two different films. I know his last film he was Jesse James, but I think he was also Jesse James in another one that I'm not seeing. Anyways. Starts making good money, purchases a horse ranch, starts raising quarter horses
Okay.
for racing, and he also buys an airplane.
Oh.
I couldn't find what kind of airplane it was. I was interested in that. We're going to get into more stuff about an airplane later, but it's
All
not
right.
his airplane.
Oh, okay.
And then he starts struggling with gambling. Apparently, over the course of his gambling problems, he loses around $3 million.
Oh shit. That's a
Never
ton for that time.
never seemed to like be in trouble,
Okay.
but definitely like was not like was losing money he didn't need to lose.
Yeah. I
In
imagine he's betting
May,
on horses too, if he's raising horses for horse racing.
his wife talks a lot about PTSD problems and his kind of like sudden quick outbursts to anger. Doesn't really say anything about their like home life, but I can't imagine that was the greatest.
Yeah.
May 1970, he's charged with battery and assault with
Oh.
intent to murder
Oh shit.
in a dispute with a dog trainer.
Ugh.
A shot was fired at the dog trainer, but he denied it and was cleared of the charges. I'm guessing the judge was like, Captain America, come on, don't do this again.
Yeah,
Like,
you can't shoot
yeah,
dog
can't
trainers.
shoot dog trainers. Come on, like you're Captain America,
Yeah.
be good. And then he starts taking Placidil, which
Oh.
is I had the medical name is I'm gonna butcher this. Ethchlorvenol.
Yeesh. You called it Placidil?
Placidil is the I guess
That
like the
can't be good
brand
for
name.
you.
Yeah. So it's a hypnotic. Which I hadn't heard of, developed by Pfizer in the 1950s,
Whoa.
and yeah, was available in it was basically like a gel capsule used for insomnia or
Okay,
inability to sleep.
yeah, you
Yeah,
know you
so
have trouble sleeping, right?
this is probably the first like you know doctors are like seeing like hey like these post-war people are having trouble and they can't sleep like let's medicate them. Yeah. But fun facts. So Elvis Presley apparently was a big fan of Placidil as
Okay,
well.
yeah.
As well as Steven Tyler of Aerosmith.
Well, that
Yeah.
dude, yeah, he broke a bunch of bones and stuff falling in that
Yeah.
pit,
Yeah. And then also apparently, and I didn't know this person beforehand, but Supreme Court Justice William
Rehnquist? Yeah, William
Rehnquist,
Rehnquist,
yeah. You know your Supreme Court justices. You
Oh
like
yeah.
I said William, and you're like, oh, that
Everyone knows William Rehnquist. Come on, bruh.
guy. He had to be hospitalized for detox of Placido.
Really? I didn't
Yeah.
know William Rock was around Placidville.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of Placidville, but shit, it's no joke.
Yeah.
Where can I get some? Just kidding.
I don't
Just
know. Is
kidding.
it still around?
That's
That's the
not funny, but
question. Let's see.
yeah, who knows? Can you get Placidville?
Yeah. I don't think so. It doesn't mention like people using it after kind of the 70s. So.
Yeah, it seems like it's a sleeping pill, basically. Yeah, street name. Yeesh.
Yeah.
Jelly bellies, they called them on the street. Dikes.
So he's being treated for what we now know as PTSD, but later on, or at that point in time, they were just like, "Oh, you're having trouble sleeping."
Yeah.
He gears up for this film called A Time for Dying, which is ironic and
Yeah.
to say the least, because this is the last film he's gonna make.
Because this is when he's dying, yeah.
Didn't know it at the time. But the director, Bodiker, apparently was on the phone with Murph, and he was basically like, "Hey, like I've got my gun right now. I'm gonna off myself,"
Oh.
the director Bud, who he apparently was good friends with, said, "You know what? Do it." And like it was really just like a jerk about it. It was like,
He said
"Yeah,
that
you
to
go ahead."
Murph.
Yeah, he
Murph
was
was
like,
going to kill himself.
"Yeah." He was like, "Yeah, you go ahead
Just
and
do it.
put that gun in your mouth and you kill yourself."
Yeah.
And then he said, "And you just go ahead and disappoint everyone that looks up to you, the thousands of kids in America that look to you as a hero.
Oh.
You go ahead and do that." And apparently Murph said, "You son of a bitch," and he hung up on him.
He couldn't
And
do it, yeah.
he didn't do it.
Because he
So
cared about the kids. He cared
he
about the
cared,
image of the kids. I was
yeah.
reading, as you were talking about this, I read something about he refused to do cigarette and alcohol ads just because of the kids.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
so that's crazy. Yeah. He knew just what to say to him.
So Time for Dying comes out no, 69. And then in
And that's his last film,
1971,
right?
that's his last film, and he
Yeah.
like not that he like planned for that to be his last
Sure.
film, but it's the
Yeah.
last one he's done in a while.
Okay.
And then May 28th, 1971, he gets in a small plane, by today's standards, an Aero Commander 680. It's a twin engine high wing plane,
Yeah.
with supercharged propeller engines on either wing. And it's flying for a company, Colorado Aviation. They're going from Atlanta to Martinsville, Virginia.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. And he was flying with a couple businessmen that were interested in investing with him in prefab houses.
Okay.
So they're going to Martinsville, Virginia, into the Blue Ridge Airport, which I've never been to, but I've always wanted to because it's apparently like up on like the side of a mountain, and it's really cool looking.
Do you think, would you want to land there? Or are you scared to land there?
Yeah, no, I would want to land there.
You would
That
want
sounds
to?
cool to me. Yeah, for
Oh,
sure.
you're
Yeah.
crazy. You're
No,
crazy, man.
I've landed on scarier airports. There's a barbecue place at an airport northeast of Charlotte that the runway is like, I mean, it looks like a driveway. It's that
What?
small.
When you
Yeah.
so let
And
me
there's
ask you
trees
this
on either side.
quick aside, as a guy who flies planes, like, is it like a huge relief every time you land? Like, are you like, yes, I did it?
I always afterwards notice that like I stopped breathing. Like and I'll like exhale,
As you're
and
trying to
I'm like,
land it, yeah.
yeah. Well, it's not that I'm like, like not breathing at all. Like it's just like
But you're kind of holding your
I'm
breath.
kind of holding my breath, and
Oh my
like
God.
I'm that focused on it.
I bet you gotta be.
Then after like kind of the wheels touch down, I press on the brakes. Then I'm like, and that's when
Dude.
I'm like, oh man, I was holding my breath there. Like
Well, it's
why?
such a precise thing. Like, I mean, every time I've landed in a
Yeah.
passenger plane, I'm like,
Yeah.
You can just tell the concentration it must take to slow down just
Yeah.
enough time and to
Yeah.
time it perfectly to, I can't even imagine the patience you must have to be able to do that. Can't even
You're basically you're stalling the plane right above the
Yeah,
ground.
you're right. You're stalling it
Yeah.
out right at the right time, and then you have to time how close. I can't even imagine how you
Yeah.
do it. Like how, and then the
It's
runway
fun.
and
You're gonna
like the,
come flying with me sometime, Joe.
hell no. Hell no,
Yeah,
man.
you are. We'll
Hell
go
no.
get barbecue.
Well, I took, I like barbecue. I took skydiving lessons. I was gonna
Oh, see,
skydive
no,
and I
screw that.
panicked. So, yeah.
Oh,
So
you did, you bailed out? You didn't do
I
it?
didn't, end up doing it.
You didn't bail out.
So we spent the whole day learning how to do it. And I was
Yeah.
like, in my head, I was like, I'm gonna be the fucking guy whose chute doesn't open. I'm gonna fuck it up. I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
And the day we did
When
it,
you're
it
tanned,
was,
the Marine, you're like, you're a tattoo guy,
yeah, the
right?
first time somebody goes with you, they don't go with you, but you don't get
Yeah.
to like, choose when to do your shoot. It just goes when you,
Oh, it's like a line, a static.
yeah, it's just, yeah, it
Yeah.
just pulls automatically. I was like, but yeah, some of them don't work, but the day you did it, yeah, it was like an 8-hour class, and then you go, and I never got like to fall right. Like I was like, they're like, ah, that's good enough. I was like, good enough, like help me learn how to do this. I'm gonna break my legs. And then it was like, you that day you go at the end of the class,
Yeah.
and we all were gonna go, and it
But
was
like
too
tuck and roll, right? That's like
windy. It,
the
yeah, the tuck and roll.
like
It was too windy that day. I already had a bad back, bad knees. I was like, I'm gonna break my knees or my back. But it was too windy to go. So they said, okay, you can come back and your lessons are good for a year and come back. And I was like,
you just
I'm
never did
never
it.
going back. Yeah, I shouldn't have taken
So
that
I
class. Yeah.
understand, like people ask me that a lot, like, so what happens, like, if something happens in the plane, do you like bail out? Or like, I'm like, no, like the plane's perfectly fine. Like, even if the engine stops, you're just a heavy glider. That's it. You're not like, I had someone ask me once, they said, if you got low enough to the ground and slow enough, could you jump out? And I was like, if I'm low enough and
I'll just
slow
stay
enough,
in there.
I'm just gonna land the plane. Like, what? You get
Why?
some really weird questions from
Yeah, I
people
bet.
once you
Well,
can
people
buy
can't
planes.
fathom that you can do that. Yeah. Okay,
Yeah.
so he's in this plane.
So they're on their way to Virginia,
He's
and
going to Virginia from Georgia.
this pilot, I couldn't find the name, but he did not seem qualified at all.
Ooh, really?
So and I don't really like, so they said he had a private pilot license, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, he had a private pilot license, but this seemed to be a commercial flight. It wasn't a scheduled flight, but like it didn't seem like, it wasn't like it was their friend
Yeah.
or anything. It was there, and I couldn't see someone with a private pilot license having this powerful of a plane. Like
So
I said,
it,
like
according to
multi-engine.
Wikipedia, he's got 8,000 hours of flying time, but he held no instrument rating. What does that mean?
Yeah. Which but that boggles my mind too.
What does
Like,
that
how do you,
mean? Just explain that to the dumb guy.
so instrument rating means you can fly under instrument flight rules. So basically, like clouds, like things when you can't see visually
Oh, okay.
outside the cockpit. So
So this guy
didn't
didn't have that certification?
have that at 8,000 hours. I have my instrument rating and I have 160. Like, what have you been doing for 8,000 hours? That it boggles my
Was the
mind.
40s,
I
right?
guess.
I
And
don't know.
like instrument flight, sure was really different back then. Like
Yeah, I would say, were the
nobody,
instruments even the
there's
same?
no GPS. Like
Yeah.
you're using like essentially radio signals to like to land.
Yeah. You're
But
using an alarm clock and
still, you would think
a
at 8,000 flight hours, you would think that person would find the time
yeah,
to
I
get
don't
their
know, man.
instrument flight rating. He had a
That's crazy.
multi-engine late rating, which was good for the plane that they were flying. But I don't understand that. That doesn't make any
So
sense to
I'm
me.
gathering that something fucked up with this guy.
So, he called. He got a weather report, and deemed that it would be okay to make the flight in visual flight rules, which is opposite of instrument. So you can
Okay.
see outside.
Okay. You can just see everything.
Doesn't mean there's no clouds. Just means that like you have enough of a ceiling to fly under the clouds and still be at a safe altitude.
Yep.
So I guess around 2 hours into the flight, weather conditions deteriorated. people in Galax, Virginia, reported seeing the plane flying in circles in and out of the clouds,
Really?
which kind of makes sense back then. They don't have GPS, so like he's probably trying to figure out where he is, so he
Just
wants to
trying to
stay in
see.
one position.
Yeah.
Where like nowadays, like if I got into clouds, first thing I'm going to do is climb and then look at my GPS map and see where I am.
You know exactly where you are, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So he's probably trying to like put in a certain radio frequency to get on a radio line to go where it needs to go. Shortly afterwards, people saw him attempt to land on a four-lane highway
Oh,
northwest of Virginia,
holy shit.
and after making a pass over the town at treetop level, the aircraft peels out of the area and heads west towards the mountains, Blue Ridge Mountains. So then, I guess the last radio call they got was at 11:50. The pilot contacted the flight service station at Roanoke's Woodrum Airport, asking for a weather report there, and saying that he intended to land there. The radio report was the ceiling was at 1,000 feet, which is still like really low if you're not flying with instruments. And 2,000, so 1,000 feet broken, so like some scattered clouds at 1,000 feet, and then at 2,000 feet is overcast, so like you can't see beyond that point. Light rain and fog. The pilot did not indicate that he was in any kind of trouble, so got that kind of like confidence attitude, which is something we talk about in the aviation industry. Like, if you're in trouble, ask for help. Like that's the whole reason that ATC is there for you. Like, don't like you're not gonna get in trouble for asking for help.
Don't be a hero.
Audie's the hero here, not the pilot. And then at 12:08, so about I guess 20 minutes after their last radio call, the aircraft impacted the west side of Brush Mountain at 2,700 feet, while flying at high speed level attitude, which is what we call controlled flight into terrain. So it's not like nothing about the plane was broken. They just literally just flew into the side of the mountain. Same thing with Kobe. That was
Oh,
controlled flight into terrain.
really? Just that, like the plane wasn't having trouble, just boom, right? Didn't know the mountain was there.
Exactly. So
Full impact.
collision into the heavily wooded slope, post-crash fire destroyed the aircraft, and all six people on board received fatal injuries.
Yikes.
That was the end of
That's how he died.
Audie.
Wow.
And the other five people on board.
And the other people on board who we don't, Well, that's crazy. That was really good. That was way more in depth than
There's a
I
lot,
expected.
dude. Like the like when I started like reading into this guy, I was like, wow, like this guy has
Well,
a
it's like
lot.
with anything, how do you cut any of that out? You know, that's like that all needs to be there. So what I think we're gonna do, since that was this is that's a full episode right there. We're gonna just make this the Audie Murphy episode. And then if you're cool, like let's do at a later date, we'll do a
We'll link
Dewey
back up for
Beard.
your guy.
We'll do that at another time. But this is a perfect, this is good. That buys me more time to research 1943 because I'm only like halfway through that. So this is great. And I'm running out of juice with everything that I got here. But that was, wow, that was
I
really
was looking
good.
at the time. I was like, wow, you're gonna have to cut a lot of
No,
this.
but that's good. It just gives me more stuff to do because the Dewey Beard can be a whole episode too. Just to, like, if you're good with jumping into Dewey Beard with me and talking
Yeah,
about
for
the
sure.
Battle of Wounded Knee, like, there's a lot there to unpack about what was the Battle of Wounded Knee. So we're gonna jump back to 1890 with that one. But yeah, so we're gonna kind of just pivot like we need to do on podcast. So thanks, Hunter Brain, for being here, and thanks for doing all that research.
Yeah. I
Did
felt
you
like I
have?
talked a lot.
Well, I mean, how great was it that we have a pilot to talk about somebody who died in a plane crash, and to kind of fill us in on some of the terminology. That's really helpful. So, cool. Well, thanks for doing this and doing all the work on this one. Do you have anything to say to the listeners? Any shout outs or anything they can catch, any other podcasts they can catch you on?
I don't know. I should name drop people that people that we work with, right? That's
You
your
could.
thing. Just
Yeah,
like,
if they'll listen, say hi to him.
okay. Well, listen to Joe's other podcasts. You know,
Yeah,
if
Nerd
you're listening to
School.
this one, we got, Nerd School's great. I mean, you guys are gonna get into Star Wars soon, right? You're doing
Yeah, we're
the,
gonna start that with Carrington.
yeah. How far? What? Where are you? I haven't listened in a minute. Where are you guys at on Marvel?
So we are about to start, we're at the end of phase three and we're about to start phase four. But right now we're
Okay.
doing our individual movies that we, between phases, we all pick a movie. And the next one that's going to come out on Nerd School is we Art Star picked Professor Marsden and his Wonder Woman. Have you heard of that?
No.
It's on HBO Max, and just so you know, it's about the guy who created Wonder Woman, also
Oh,
kind
okay.
of in the 40s.
Oh, I did hear about this.
Have you heard about this guy? He was in a three what do you call it? A polygamous marriage, or where his
Oh, yeah.
he was a professor and he and his wife met this student and invited her into the bedroom, and they were into
A
like
unicorn, if you will.
tying each other up and all this stuff. And that's why, so Wonder Woman, like, that's why she's got the rope of truth.
Oh,
It's like,
wow.
it's all about bondage and stuff like that. So it's really crazy. I don't know how good the movie was. There's a lot more about
Interesting.
bondage and sexual stuff than it was about Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
But some of that's, I don't know, in there and kind of a thing. So, but yeah, that's what we're going to talk about in Nerd School next. Yeah. And then Amy and I are working on putting together research for 1943, so stay tuned for that. I've got some more friend check episodes coming out. But Hunter, thanks for being here, man. You did a lot of work on this, and that was good. You took us through the whole this whole life, and
A lot more than I thought I would. I thought this was going to be just about World War II, and this guy had a lot of stuff going on.
Well, there was a lot to talk about too. Yeah, we got to the 70s when he died. So I mean, it was interesting. I didn't know he was an actor, so I didn't know you'd have to talk about all that. So anyway, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening, Time Heads. You can follow Hunter on, I don't know, Instagram. Are you on Instagram?
Instagram, Pilot Babu, BABBOO.
Pilot Babu, that's great. And do you like pilot? Like, do you show videos of you flying and stuff?
You can find me on, like, I've got a YouTube channel where I do little
Oh, you
videos
do?
about my flying
Well,
journey.
how do you find your YouTube channel? What's your
Same
YouTube?
thing, Pilot Babu.
Pilot Babu. All right, check out Hunter, Pilot Babu, and Hunter's favorite podcast is about air traffic controllers, right? What's that called?
Opposed Base is my guys over in over at Greensboro, the mythical Triad Airspace. Check
That's
those guys
awesome.
out for sure.
Yeah, check them out. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll be back. Rate, review, subscribe, send us money if you want. What's your Cash App? No, I'm just kidding.
Don't try her, man, cause she's dead. She can't make a beat and come out dead. Driving through your life like a fury. Take you the wrong way, home just to watch you scrub. Shooting you inside out with a stud. She'll introduce you to a rest of a brother. You'll be crying for your own bottle of water. Before she turns you over to kiss your wound. So when she shakes her hips, Pastor
Matt Truman Ego Trip is the greatest band of all time. Buy their music.